So we began last time the very famous Mishnah and Sugya of Habor b'Machteres. So I'd like to review briefly the introductions that we said last time. We have to pay attention because these are going to be very relevant to us throughout the Sugya.
What's up again?
Of Ayin, base, Amud Aleph, 72. Habor b'Machteres means if somebody furrows their way into one's home. He's coming to steal money. And as we're going to see in the Gemara, the assumption is that even though essentially he's only coming to steal money, but it may well eventually turn into an attempt to kill the fellow as well, and not just to steal his money. Because of that, this fellow who's coming, Habor b'Machteres, has the halachic status of a roidef. Again, we're not talking about the classic case of Roidef, that's going to be the next Mishnah, where you see literally Reuven running after Shimon with a gun saying, I'm going to kill you. So there we all know you're allowed and you're supposed to kill Reuven. That's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about a more subtle case. Essentially, he's coming to steal money. But we'll see in the Gemara, Chazal understood that it might well get out of hand. Even though essentially he's coming for money, it might end up in a murder case. He's considered a roidef, and therefore one can kill him. That was introduction number one. Introduction number two was the Torah differentiates between two different type of people: a regular person who's coming to get your money, as opposed to somebody who loves you and has compassion for you like a father. Where even if it gets messy, but it's not going to end up in murder. The father will have rachmonis on the son. How does the Torah express that? If it's a regular person who doesn't care about you and might well want to end up killing, that's called Ein Loi Domim. He has no blood. Meaning, normally murder is considered shvichas damim. This person is considered to have no blood, and you're allowed to kill him. If, however, he's your father, for example, and there's no way that he, in fact, is going to come and kill, then yesh loy damim. Then he does have blood, and you're not allowed to kill him. So even though the father's coming for the money, but you can be rest assured that the father is definitely not coming to murder his own son. And therefore, yesh loy domim. Yesh loy domim means he's got blood, and you have no right as the son to spill that blood. That was the second introduction. The third and final introduction was we have a principle called kom lei b'derabamine, which means if somebody does something which essentially deserves two punishments, we'll only give him the stricter of the two. So, can you imagine now that this guy comes, Habor b'Machteres? So, as we've already said, if we're talking about a regular normal case, not the father, but the regular normal case where the assumption is that he's coming to murder and therefore can himself be murdered, Ein Loi Domim. If Ein Loi Domim and he's Chayev Misa, so if at the same time that he's coming to steal the money, and to kill, if at the same time he breaks some property in the home that he intruded in. So it turns out now that essentially he's chayav two punishments. Number one, he's chayav death because he's coming to kill, but he also happened to break the barrel of the homeowner, to which the Mishnah says, therefore, he'll be exempt from paying for the barrel. Why would he be exempt from paying for the barrel? As we just mentioned, Kom lei midrabamune. If there's two punishments at hand, you just give him the more strict of the two. But here, there was a very important addition that we saw in Rashi. And this is a tremendous chiddush. When we have the double punishment rule, which means that you'll only give him the stricter of the two, even if for some technical reason, you're actually not going to give him the more strict of the two punishments, he's still exempt from the more lenient. So, what would be a classic example? Reuven comes into Shimon's house on Shabbos and he rips up his suit. So what has he just done? Two averus. Number one, he's been mechalel Shabbos, kireya. And number two, he's just damaged somebody else's property. So essentially, he's chayev misa for Shabbos. He's chayev money for the beged. Two punishments, so we'll exempt him from the money. But what happens if in that case they never warned him about the Shabbos? Normally, as we know, you can only give a death penalty if there's hasra. So if they never actually warned him, they never said to him, if you tear that beged, you will get the death penalty. They never said that, and if he won't get the death penalty, he's nonetheless exempt from paying. So you see, it's not the practical application of the death penalty that exempts him. It's the fact that he transgressed an avera that carries a death penalty. So have a look. That was basically the Mishnah. So have a look at the Mishnah. Let's review the Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Habor b'machteres. If somebody comes b'machteres, nidoin al shem soifui. He is judged, similar to a ben seira umeira, not for anything he's done so far, but something that he will eventually do, meaning he's eventually going to murder, and therefore he can be killed. Ho yabor b'machteres. If he was coming in this tunnel, the shovar es hechovis, and he broke the barrel, which means that surely he should be chayev a double punishment. Says the Mishnah, what's the halacha? Im yesh loy domim chayev, im ein loy domim potter. Those were the two halachas that we said before. Im yesh loy domim, if he's got dam, what does that mean he's got dam? He's a family relative. He's definitely not going to come to kill. So therefore, there's no death penalty over here to talk of. Well, therefore, he's got to pay. But im ein lo yedomim, but if he's got no blood, meaning it's stam an individual who's got no compassion and he is chayav a death penalty, then potter, well, then he'll be potter to pay. Says Rashi. Machteres. Right at the top, third line. Habor machteres she'omro Torah Yehoreig, where the Torah says he can be killed. Tremendous chiddush. Nidun al shem seifoi. What does that mean? Nidun al shem seifoi. Dahaloi kotil. Because he has not at this stage murdered anybody, so we're definitely not giving him the punishment of death as a punishment for something that he's already done. Says Rashi, the holoi kotel umiktel, even though he hasn't killed, but nonetheless, he is killed. Mishum de soifoi laroig bal habayis. Because we confidently can predict that he's going to eventually attempt to kill the bal habayis. Kesheyamoid kenegdoi, if he stands up against him, lahatzil memoidoi, to save his money. So therefore, even though it's not something that he's done already, this is not the classic death penalty, which is the oinish for an avera that's already been committed. Rather, it is preempting, just like in the case of Seiro Moira, that he hasn't done an avera yet that warrants misa, because all he's done is stole meat, stole wine. And nonetheless, we say nidan al shem seifoi. So too, this fellow, this roidev, he has not yet committed any avera, but because we know where this is going, so we need to prevent that from the outset. Larry, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I have a question. How come there's no Hava Minute to say if it's a father that would steal from his son, maybe he's a father that would kill his son as well? What
We'll
kind of
see
a
a little
father
more.
steals from his son?
We'll see. Rashi explains over here that we are guaranteed that he has rachmonis for his son. If the father comes running towards the son with a gun and says, "I'm going to kill you," you're right. Then it's different. But here, if it's just based on an assumption, then to the contrary, the assumption is the opposite. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi points this out right now. Yeish lo yedomim chayev, if he's got blood, meaning you're not allowed to kill him, so in turn he'll be chayev to pay. Im einoi ra'u, if he himself is not deserving of being killed, kagoyin av al haben. For example, a father to a son, de tanya le kamon, with a brisa later on, de ein haben rashai la'roig esoviv. We're going to see later on a son definitely is not permitted to kill the father. Because the rachmonos, the compassion of the father, is on the son. And he definitely has not come. He's not come to kill. And therefore, even if the son stands up in his face to protect his money, to save his money, but we can be guaranteed, ein bedaitoi shel oviv lahorgoi. So there might be resistance, but we can be rest assured the father definitely is not coming to kill the son. And if the father's not coming to kill the son, he himself is not therefore deserving of the death penalty. And if he's not deserving of the death penalty, so he's got to pay the money. Chayev l'shalem hechovis. So he's got to pay for the barrel, kashar mazik, like any other person who inflicts damage. If, however, says Rashi, the final Rashi on the Mishnah, if ein lo yadomim, if, however, if he's got no blood, what does that mean he's got no blood? Meaning a regular person where the assumption is he's coming to kill and therefore is chayav misa himself, ein lo yadomim, kagoyin shar kol ha'odom. For example, any other individual, not a father and a son. Shenitein Rashus, where over here the Rashus is given Labalabais Lahorgoi. Here the Balabais has a Rashus to kill the incoming intruder. Well then Potter Melashalim. Well, in turn, therefore, by definition, he'll be exempt from paying the money. Techi of Misa, Vechi of Tashlumin, Boim Ke'echod. Because the Chi of Misa and the Chi of Tashlumim come at the same time. This, by the way, Rabbeisa, is very important. If somebody is Mechalel Shabbos and then 10 minutes later he steals your money, of course he's chayav to pay both. When we say you can't give a double punishment, it means for a singular act. When the two punishments coincide, and at the same time that he's chayav misa, he's also now at that moment becomes chayav to pay money. Well, then we exempt him from the money, and that's what Rashi's pointing out. The chayav misa, the chayav tashlumin bo'in ke'echod, va'afal pi, and even though shen nitzel, and even in the event that actually he was saved and nobody got killed, still potter min ha'tashlumin, and he's still exempt from the tashlumin, even though he was never chayav misa at the end of the day. The kaim alom, because we hold la halacha chayve misois shoygigin. In a case of chayve misas and aveira, which essentially carries the death penalty, but if it was done b'shoygeg, how can that be b'shoygeg? Kegoyin shaloi hisru bohen. For example, there was no hasra, so practically there will actually not be a death penalty. Still, ein meshalmin momen. He still will not pay money she'im ha'misa af al pi she'ein herogin, even if in the final analysis he did not get the chi of misa because it was done b'shoigeg. Like we said, it's not dependent on getting the punishment; it's on transgressing the aveira that holds the punishment. So that Rabbi Yisai is our Mishnah. Very, very important, therefore, to be crystal clear in the difference between Yesh Lo Yadomim, that's the father, Ein Lo Yadomim is a regular fellow where he's coming to kill. So Ein Lo Yadomim, he's got no blood, says the Torah, so you're allowed to kill him. Omar Rava, says the Gemara, my timer de machteres, question mark. What is the reason behind the principle of machteres, as we pointed out before, Rabbi said? This is not the classic case of roidef. The classic case of roidef is when you see that the pursuer is absolutely and clearly coming with the intent to kill. He's holding a gun. Whereas in the case of Bo Machteres, he's not coming with a gun. And he said quite clearly he's coming for the money. Have a look at Rashi. My time at the Machteres, what is the reason? Why she'omra Torah ein loy domim, quote unquote. Why indeed did the Torah say that there's no domim? Kloima, which means harehu lecha, it's as if kemi she'ein loy dam v'neshama. He's got no dam. He's got no blood. He's got no soul. Umutalahargoi, and you're allowed to kill him. Why indeed? Why is it considered as if he's got no dam? Back into the Gemara, says the Gemara, Chazaka, because we have this assumption. This is what the Torah is teaching us. Ein Adam Ma'amid Atzmai Almamoinai. A person is not able to restrain himself when it comes to his money. That's the problem. Even though it's true, he's not coming to kill, he's coming to steal. But the person who is being intruded into will not be able to resist. If he sees somebody who is coming to take his money, he'll fight back. Therefore, Vahai, therefore, this particular individual who's now coming in to steal the money, Meimar Omar, he says the following, E Azilna, if I come in to steal, I could be rest assured that Koila Ape, he will stand up in my face. Veloishovikli, and will not leave me alone. He's going to fight till the end. So I'm telling you now, Vei Koila Apoi, if he does indeed stand up in my face, Kotilna Le, I will kill him. This is all the psychology of the intruder as testified by the Torah. The intruder thinks to himself, I know full well that this fellow is not going to just take it lying down, and he's going to fight back. And I'm telling you now, if he fights back, I'm going to kill him. Well, if that's the case, Omra, and the Torah has clearly said, if ever anybody comes to kill you, so you can get up and kill him. A preemptive strike. Yes, Larry.
Then what's the shaychus of machteris? The Gemara, the Mishnah should say, if somebody comes to take your money and you're there and you're home,
The pasuk says, "Habo b'machteres."
and the kivan is if the guy's face to face. The machteris is a remez to face to face, because that's your real.
Machteres is a tunnel. A person tunnels his way in because he wants to steal the money. That's just a reference of the Torah. We'll see later on in the Gemara.
No, but
Just
I'm just thinking that if it's all about, he's coming to steal your money, therefore if he defends himself, I'm going to kill him. It should be someone who comes to you face to face, someone who's willing to face you and steal your money. That it shouldn't be relevant that the machteris.
So we'll see. Later on, the Gemara will talk about the significance of Machteres. Have a look at Rashi. Chazaka ein odom ma'amid atzmei. A person doesn't just stand and ignore when it comes to his money being stolen. Says Rashi, she'roye she'acher noitli. There's no such thing as seeing somebody else take your money, v'shoisek, and just remaining silent. No such thing. No such thing. Hilkoch, therefore, yoideya haganav. Therefore, the ganav absolutely knows. Yoideya haganav hazem. This ganav definitely knows. Shebal habayis oimid almamoinoi lahatziloi. He definitely knows that this fellow is going to stand up to try and save his money. He's not just going to remain silent. Umeymar Omar, and he therefore says to himself, Umeymar Omar Aganov, I ozilne legabe, if I go over to him to take his money, koiba ape, I know he's going to stand up in my face. Well, I'm warning you now, v'i koi, if he does stand up against me, kotilnele, I'm going to kill him. V'omra lecho, that's why the Torah says, ein leidomim. The Torah is therefore teaching you, because he's coming to steal, he's coming to kill you, hashkem ato lahorgoi, therefore you can get up in a preemptive strike and kill him before he comes to kill you. Now, Rabbeisai, I want to ask you a very, very profound question. And you see over here a very, 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 very big yesod. So listen carefully. What's the halacha? We're going to see this in Mitzvah Hashem in the next sugya. Reuven is running after Shimon with a gun. And he says, absolutely, clearly, I'm out to kill you. So he's a classic roidev, no question about it. Is Shimon allowed to turn around and kill Reuven? Absolutely. What's the exception to that rule? The exception to the rule is you're only allowed to kill the pursuer if I don't have any other way of fending him off without killing him. Meaning, Shimon, who's being pursued, if he's a good gun holder, in theory, if he could turn around and instead of killing Reuven, he could just injure him, and that would prevent Reuven coming to kill him, then he's got to do that. And he has no right to kill Reuven. So therefore, this is the famous principle, and it's called in the Gemara, Efsha Lahatzil. Are you able to save yourself be'echod me'evarov, with one of his limbs? So if it's too frantic and I can't start now aiming for his leg or his head, okay, so then obviously you've got to kill him. But if in all honesty, if the situation is such that I'm able to injure the attacker rather than killing him, then obviously I've got no heter whatsoever to kill. And not only that, if circumstances like that, if Shimon kills Reuven, then Shimon himself is chayav misa. Why will Shimon be chayav misa? Because you had no right to kill Reuven. Why not? But Reuven was coming to kill Shimon. It's true. But the circumstances were such that you could have injured him instead of killing him. And you didn't do that. You killed him, you're a murderer. We'll see lots more about this later on in the sugya. If that's the case, Rabbeinu, we have a very, very deep question to ask in our sugya. Reuven is coming b'machteres, breaking into Shimon's house, and he's coming for money. All he wants is to steal $100. He knows correctly that Shimon's going to fight back. He's not just going to take it lying down. He's not going to remain silent. He does not want his $100 to be stolen. So what's going to happen? Shimon is going to fight back, and Reuven announces from the outset, "Well, if he fights back, I'm telling you now, I'm going to kill him." And because of that, Shimon is now allowed to kill Reuven in a preemptive strike. So I have an enormous question. This is not my question. Didn't we just say a moment ago that somebody being pursued is only allowed to kill the attacker if there's no alternative? But if there's an alternative, I could do anything to save his life, you have no right to kill him. So Rabbeisai, we have a phenomenal question over here. Why is Shimon allowed to kill Reuven, the intruder? Based on the fact that Reuven knows that Shimon is going to fight to save his money, and Reuven therefore threatens to kill, excuse me, Shimon can avoid the situation. How can Shimon avoid killing Reuven? By giving him the money. Give him the money, he's not interested in coming to kill you. What's the difference if I can prevent killing him by injuring him or by giving him $100? It both gets you to the same point, i.e., this way I can prevent the death of Reuven. And you mechuyev to do that. So much so, like we said before, if you don't do that, you're a murderer. Why did you kill him? You could have had an easier option, you could have prevented his death. Well, so too over here, I could have prevented his death. How so? I could simply give him the money. Yes, Reblair.
But they already told you the answer because they said the nature of a person is to protect his money with his life.
That's the
So
question. Why are you allowed
no,
to? Why is
it's
he
not a,
allowed to?
it's inherent, it's nature of man. It's inherent. You're asking me to do something
No,
that I
it's only inherent. If he decides that I want to maintain my money, I'm going to fight to the death to do so. What right has he got to do that? Just give the money.
but
Give him
what,
the
then
money.
why don't they just say you should shoot him in the leg? Why don't they talk about returning the
Of
money if
course,
he
we're talking about that. Wherever it says Roidef, by definition, we're talking about that you can't shoot him in the leg. That's a given. That's a given. I'm asking that this is the equivalent of shooting him in the leg because I can simply give him the money. What are you going to say? No, but it's human nature. They fight to the death. It's fight to the death to maintain your money. So don't maintain your money. Give him the cash. Give him the $100. If you give him the $100, Reuven will definitely not kill Shimon. He's not in the slightest bit interested in killing. The only reason he's going to kill Reuven is because Reuven's going to resist. So don't resist.
And how does Reuven, how does the person who owns the money, the person who was invaded, how does he know what the guy's intention is? Maybe he came to kill him. How does he know what his intention is? He
Because
guy breaks into my house with a weapon to kill me. I'm not thinking he's gonna. I don't know why he's there. Maybe he's
this
there to
guy
kill me.
doesn't come with a weapon. This guy hasn't come with a weapon. He's a
You come
Boba.
without a weapon. You
He's
break
coming
into my house in
only.
the middle of the
He's
night. How do
coming
I know why
only
you're
to
there?
steal, and he's not in the slightest bit interested to murder. What will trigger him to murder Reuven is in the event that Reuven resists. If Reuven resists, then Shimon says, "I'm going to kill him." Okay, so don't resist. Give him the money.
Question, Rob.
Yes.
Think a little later we're going to be discussing about the light of day, the sun and shining, and all that other stuff. And Larry's question earlier about a face-to-face standoff. I think once the person is awake and sees the person, which means the light of recognition is there, this is no longer a break-in where he'll be able to humbly steal the money and go ahead and prove it later. Once he's identified by the house owner, isn't that what causes that next hand to be pushed to say he is going to kill because now there's that witness against him?
That's the question. If Reuven would give the money, what would be the halacha? What would Shimon do?
He may say, no. We'll be in Beis Din tomorrow and I'm giving it back. I got a better idea. I need this money.
So give it to
Lie.
him. So give it to him.
No, but they'll be in Beis Din tomorrow
Forget
with
Bezdin tomorrow.
an
If
eyewitness.
forget Bezdin tomorrow. If you give him the money now, he will definitely not kill him. Definitely. It's not a sophic. Definitely will kill him. So give
Okay. My crystal
him.
ball is not working, but I'm just saying if he says
That
no,
is the
this guy.
absolute prediction. We said he's not coming to kill. The Gemara said quite clearly. The
Till he's seen. No, till
only
he's
reason
seen
why I
by the.
want to kill the house owner is because I'm worried he's going to stand up. So don't stand up. So you should give me the money.
But the only one that knows that is the robber. The house owner
Well,
who's the house owner doesn't know why he's there. How
so
am I
that's the
supposed to do?
question. So that's the question.
So
If the house,
I'm trying to
if the
assume
house.
that he's not. Is he only here to rob me and not kill me? How do I know that?
Why does the intruder not have to expect that he'll just capitulate and give me the money?
Because he'll have an eyewitness against him now. It will not be a
Doesn't
break-in on
matter.
me.
Doesn't
Oh,
matter. He's only
doesn't matter.
allowed to kill me if there's no alternative. So let him give him the money.
Okay. You see,
Okay.
you just said
We'll let everybody.
what's the reason you would kill even giving the money? And I thought the reason was because now he'll be in jail and Beis Din and
No,
whatever
no,
came
no,
back.
no, no. No, no, no.
He doesn't
The
get to keep
only
the
reason he's
money.
going to kill is because he's not going to give the money. So tell him to give the money. Okay, everybody, so I have to hold it over here. Everyone can think about this question. It's a deep question. We'll start off tomorrow, Miss Hashem, discussing it all being well.